This is Cross Hope, a daily word of hope and inspiration with Randy Snyder, Senior Minister of Crossview Christian Church. Now, with today's message from Cross Hope, here's Randy Snyder.
Well, before we begin today's program, just this word. We're excited about this week because, you see, on Friday, we celebrate our 1,000th broadcast of Cross Hope on Sirius XM, the Family Talk Channel. Doesn't seem possible. And when this program started in June of 2010, that I would be talking about the 1,000th broadcast, but that's what I'm doing. It's this week on Friday. We're in the second message in a series about the final week in the earthly life of Christ. It's a message about Jesus cleansing the temple. And there's a parallel message in it that the Lord wants to cleanse something called the temple that you and me. He wants to cleanse our lives and our minds and our souls. We'll talk about that all this week. Hope you'll listen this week, especially on Friday, the 1,000th broadcast of Cross Hope. Rick helped me with this, putting this together, this illustration here. I asked him to come up with some phrases and words that are overused in our culture. There are a lot of phrases that you and I use, and not only that, they're overused. He said the most often used phrases in resumes: highly qualified, self-starter, creative, problem solver. Phrases we use all the time: I couldn't care less, think outside the box, it is what it is, it's not rocket science, at the end of the day, global warming, my bad, cougar. Is that what the word, cougar? Yeah, okay, I thought maybe it's overused. Okay, fiscal cliff. Well, that is right, about older women. Yeah, okay, I just dawned on me. You know, I got a joke about that. The big thing now is women dating men that are 20 years younger than they are. That's the kind of the end thing. So I told somebody just this week again, some of you have heard this before, that if anything happens to me, that means Annie will be going with a 40-year-old to Cheesecake Factory. If anything happens to her, I'll be going to MCL at 4 o'clock with an 80-year-old. So that's for the early supper. That's what's going to happen. Just thought I'd share that with you. Cutting edge, spoiler alert, bro, ridiculous, awesome, literally, whatever, seriously, nice, like, you know. I want to talk about another one because it's in the title of our message today. We're going to talk about a makeover. Makeover is a word that's used and overused in our culture. Everything from physical looks, from weight loss, to plastic surgery, to dress, to hair, to houses, to homes, everything is tied up today with makeovers. I love what this young lady from Lexington, Kentucky writes by the name of Marin. She says, "My mother loves a good makeover. She doesn't settle for any old haircut or makeup change. She makes over entire rooms. My childhood was spent painting the kitchen at least once a year. I've seen apple green, barn red, shaker blue, and her current pick, white. While some might call this indecisiveness on her part, I disagree. She's really very decisive. She knows when a change is needed, so she makes it. And she plots, not plans really, but schemes how best to beat away the boring, that which does not add excitement to her home." I want to talk about a spiritual makeover, or the title says holy makeover. And I want to tell you this right at the beginning. Nobody, and I mean nobody, in this room has what it takes to do a spiritual makeover. It's something that only the Lord God Almighty can do in your life and in my life. He does any changing in your life. He does any makeover in your life. It's done by Him. Well, you're listening to a message called Holy Makeover from Matthew 21 about the cleansing of a physical temple in Jerusalem. The Lord wants to cleanse the temple that's known as you and me. We'll talk about that tomorrow as we begin by reading the text from Matthew 21. Tomorrow on Cross Hope. God bless you. Now then, today, part two of a message we began yesterday from Matthew 21 about the cleansing of the temple. This is part of the series about the final week in the earthly life of Christ. Dramatic scene here from Matthew 21 about the cleansing of the physical temple. Paul would say, your body, my body, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I think the Lord's interested in cleansing the temple that is you and me. God bless you as you listen today. I want to talk about a spiritual makeover, or the title says holy makeover. And I want to tell you this right at the beginning. Nobody, and I mean nobody in this room, has what it takes to do a spiritual makeover. It's something that only the Lord God Almighty can do in your life and in my life. He does any changing in your life. He does any makeover in your life. It's done by Him. And that's why we may make decisions to have the Lord change, but He's the one doing the changing. I read this week of a woman named Gwen from New York, upstate New York, who found out her cholesterol level was over 300. Her doctor said, I'm going to put you on statin drugs, and we're going to lower your cholesterol. And she said, I'm not going on the statins. I'm going to do a personal physiological makeover. And she did. She became a vegetarian. It's pretty dramatic. And her cholesterol level went from over 300 to 150 just by becoming a vegetarian. I'm not suggesting that's what you do, but that's what she did. And she said, that was my makeover, a physiological lifestyle makeover. No matter what you do to change your life, you're still a sinner in need of forgiveness, and so am I. You always have been, you always will be, and so am I. And that's what we talk about today. I'm going to look at a passage of Scripture in this series called The Final Week, 7 days in history, looking at the last 7 days in the life of Jesus on this earth, where He does a makeover in a sense. It's a parable for makeover by His cleansing of what's called the temple. The most sacred place in the life of the Orthodox Jew was the temple in Jerusalem. And Jesus did a forced makeover, is what I would call it. Exactly where I left off last week. Verse 12 says this, Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, He said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers or thieves. The blind and the lame came to Him at the temple, and He healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things He did, and the children, underline that, children, shouting in the temple area, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. They were furious. They were ticked, to use an overused term in our culture. I'm going to use this passage and this incident in the life of Christ to talk about what Jesus does in your life and in my life. Let me tell you why. What Jesus did to a physical building called the temple, the Apostle Paul says in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, you're the temple. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which gives a whole new dimension to this story? When Jesus comes into the physical temple of God and said, this is a house of prayer and you've turned it into a den of thieves, what have you turned your temple into? Your body. In terms of what you do, where you go, what you watch, what you listen to, what have you turned your temple into? And it's the same question for me. Not just you, but for me too. It's a provocative question today, and I want you to notice that the first thing Jesus did when He came to the temple, let's read verse 12. Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. Merchants had turned the temple courtyards into Trader's World, flea market. It's exactly what it was. And I want you to notice that the first thing Jesus did when He came to the temple, let's read verse 12. Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. Merchants had turned the temple courtyards into Trader's World, flea market. It's exactly what it was. They had set up money-changing booths. They had set up selling doves, selling things to be used in sacrifice at the temple. And they turned it into a business area. And Jesus is offended because, I'll tell you why He was offended. This is a little secret here. He's God. That's why He was offended. You have turned the house of God into a den of thieves. And He quotes from the book of Jeremiah, I believe, or Isaiah, my house will be called a house of prayer. You know what Jesus was doing there? I don't know if you catch it. He was taking authority over this most sacred place in the life of the Orthodox Jew. Jesus earlier in the gospel said, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath, which was the most sacred day in the life of the Jew, and now He takes authority over the temple. That's no accident. He's claiming to be God when He did that. Who else would have the power and authority to say, you have turned my house into a den of thieves? Only the Lord God could say that. And that's what Jesus said with authority, with power that he had. And it's interesting. I'm always interested in word meanings. I found out that phrase drove out, I think is used in King James as cast out. It means to eject, like an umpire or a referee at a football game, a basketball game, eject somebody out of the game, a coach, a player, or even a fan. Somebody, first service, told me they were ejected out of a game as a fan in the stands. I didn't know umpires and refs could do that. That's the kind of people that come to first service that get thrown out of games. A rough bunch. And that's the word. That's the word that's used, that the Lord ejected. Now here's my question. What would the Lord want to eject out of your life? What would he come in and say, you know, the first thing, I'm God, you're not. I'm the Lord of heaven and earth, you're not. The first thing, this has got to go. Could be a habit, be something you do on a regular basis, but you know what? It could be an attitude of your spirit. Your resentment toward your brother or sister's got to go. Your hatred toward that coworker, it's got to go. Your ill will, your malice, and that's what malice is, ill will. It's when you want somebody else to fail. You want somebody else to get bad news from the doctor. You want somebody else to have trouble in their marriage or have trouble with their kids. That's malice. And the Lord comes in and says, I want you to get rid of that malice. What would he cast out of your life or my life? Because that's what he does. And I want to suggest that's the first stage of a makeover. Before the Lord does anything in my life, he casts out stuff out of my life. And I really believe that with all my heart. I didn't share this in the first service, but when you know when the Lord does changes in your life, you have got to realize that it's going to impact, listen carefully, it's going to impact other people too. If you're married and the Lord changes your life as a husband, it's going to impact your wife, whether you know it or not. You're a wife and the Lord works in your life, it's going to impact your husband, it's going to impact your kids. So when God makes changes in a person's life, it impacts other people. There's a ripple effect that goes out from that.
Well, this message from Matthew 21 about the cleansing of the temple will continue tomorrow on Cross Hope. We mentioned at the beginning of the week that Friday, this Friday, is the 1,000th broadcast of Cross Hope on the Family Talk Channel on Sirius XM. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. To listen to any message you missed or to find out more about our ministry that we call Cross Hope. God bless you.
Now I want you to notice a transition point here in verse 14. The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. Isn't it interesting? When Jesus runs everybody out of the temple, and I think everybody with a guilty conscience left, you know who was still there? Blind people and lame people. The two most common physical ailments of the day, blindness and lameness. A lot of it was congenital. A lot of it was from birth defects, but a lot of the blindness would come from a disease called trachoma, not glaucoma, but trachoma, that's easily cured today or dealt with tetracycline. But they didn't have that back then. There were no ophthalmologists. There was no doctor to go to. And so they dealt with blindness and lameness were the two most common things. Birth defects, congenital birth defects that maybe you saw on TV this week of little children whose feet are turned sideways and in some cases all the way around. And wonderful things are done now in orthopedic surgery of correcting those congenital defects. And Jesus dealt with that routinely. So the blind and the lame are just sitting there, watching and listening. And the thought occurred to me that the Lord, when he does a makeover in your life, he deals with what he casts out first. Then he wants to heal blindness in your life and in my life. You know what spiritual blindness is? Spiritual blindness is when you can't see the sin in your own life, and I can't see it in my life. You ever notice how people oftentimes will protest and just say the opposite of what they really are? A person who doesn't care about people will make great protestations and say, I'm a people person. No, you're not. You can't stand people. But they say, I'm a people person. Oh, I just love everybody. No, they don't. Sometimes we say and state just the opposite of what we are. Myers-Briggs has a personality profile, and they have learned over the years that people have learned and figured it out, and they come up telling people what they think they should be. You know, I'm an extrovert when really they're an introvert. I'm a thinker rather than a feeler. And in other words, they're coming up with what they think other people want to hear. And the Lord knows who we really are. He heals spiritual blindness and he heals spiritual lameness. I did some reading on lameness. I stumbled across an article written by a Christian veterinarian, a woman by the name of Lisa. And she used a term I had never heard before called untreatable lameness that she sees in horses and dogs. It's untreatable lameness. There's nothing I can do. And I have to tell the people, there's nothing I can do for your dog with the lameness. There's nothing I can do for this horse. And oftentimes that animal then is euthanized. And I thought about that, untreatable lameness. Do you know what it means to be spiritually lame? You have no capacity to move forward spiritually. And Jesus is interested in healing spiritual blindness and spiritual lameness. What is it that's holding you back spiritually? What's holding you back loving people? What's holding you back being honest? What's holding you back being a decent person to deal with in your business and your family? And oftentimes, I would call it blindness and lameness. And the Lord's interested in healing people of both. He really is.
Well, at the beginning of the week, we told you that Friday's program, tomorrow, is the 1,000th broadcast of Cross Hope on Sirius XM 131, the Family Talk Channel. If there's ever a program you've missed, if there's ever a time you'd like to know more about this ministry, I'd like for you to go to our website. It's called crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. To find out how you can become a part of a ministry that has its 1,000th broadcast tomorrow on Friday. God bless you, and thanks for listening to Cross Hope. Now then, today, the 1,000th broadcast of Cross Hope on Sirius XM 131, the Family Talk Channel. We think this is a special day for us. We hope it's a special day for you. As you listen to today's program, the last part of a message about the cleansing of the temple, where Jesus came in and cleansed the temple that had been turned into a commercial business by those who were money changers, those who were setting up booths, selling items to use for sacrifice. We continue with the conclusion today on Cross Hope.
Now, the most interesting passage in this passage is about the children. Look at verse 15. But when the chief priest and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did and the children shouting in the temple area, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. And they're mad, and they even challenged Jesus. "Do you hear what these kids are saying about you?" "Yeah, I do." Jesus says, "Haven't you heard in Psalm 8 that God ordains praise from the lips of children and infants?" You know that your children sometimes will say something profoundly spiritual and you do a double take and said, "What did you say?" Every parent who has a child that's raised, I think, and not necessarily raised, I'll give examples of kids who weren't raised in a Christian home, say profound spiritual things. But your children perhaps have said things that convicted you about your attitude. And it was said by a 5-year-old. It was said by a 7-year-old or a 10-year-old. I read a powerful story this week, a man who said that he was proud of his atheism. He and his wife were raised in a generation of, "We don't believe in anything. We don't believe in the Bible. We're sophisticated. We're hipsters. We're cool. We don't believe in anything." And he said that's the environment that the children were raised in. And he said this. One day he said, "I was talking to my daughter, I think 7, 8, 9 years of age. And she said, 'Dad, I don't agree with you that the world just happened. There had to be something to start the beginning of this world. There had to be some power.'" And he said, he's now a believer, and he said, "Isn't it interesting? Here's a child raised in an atheistic, non-believing home telling an unbeliever, 'There's got to be more to this life than just an accident. We're not just a cosmic accident, but there is a creator. God has ordained praise from the mouths of children and infants.'" I want you to get the progression here. Holy makeover, the Lord comes in, he cleanses the temple. What needs to come out of your temple that you know what it is? You know, it's very private. Your husband, your wife doesn't even know some of the garbage that needs to come out of your life, and you know it. You're married and your husband doesn't know some of the garbage that's got to come out of your life, but God knows, and you know. And you know in your spirit. And then the Lord does the healing of spiritual blindness and spiritual lameness, whether it's untreatable or not. He's the one who can treat it. He's the one who can cure it. You let the Lord come into your life and do a cleansing, and you let him do ejecting of things out of your life that shouldn't be there. And you let him work in the spiritual blindness where you say, I haven't seen things in my life, but now I can see them. The scales have come off my eyes, so to speak. And now I can see that which I couldn't see before. I'm no longer lame. There's capacity for spiritual movement, spiritual progress, all at the hand of God. Jesus is in the business of doing makeovers that you would never be able to do on your own. I could never do on my own. I really believe that. But you know what you do? You decide. You say, Lord, permission granted. Come into my life and do a makeover. And you know what? He will. He will. Because he can. Let's pray together.
Well, my prayer for you on this 1,000th broadcast of Cross Hope on Sirius XM 131, that God will work in your life in a powerful way. God bless you.
You have been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information or to listen to or download a copy of today's message, go to crosshope.org. That web address again is www.crosshope.org. Be sure to tune in each weekday at this same time to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. This program has been a production of Cross Hope Ministries.